Sales advisors. So the other day I spoke with a Scottish guy. After 5 minutes, I was like, sorry. He just hung up the phone. So I'm still struggling with that. The blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. He's supposed to be NIV, but it's fine. Yeah, we'll be talking about the healing of the blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. Quite an interesting story. And when you read through the Bible, you come to realize that healing is one of the key subjects in the Bible. When you go from Genesis to Revelation, you will see moment of healing after healing after healing and after healing. Right in the Garden of Eden, healing took place. The Bible says God said it's not good for man to be alone. Because Adam needed that emotional healing. He was alone. He could see all the animals going in pairs. But he was there. I am alone. I need somebody. And God brought Eve. And when he saw Eve, he said, "This is the flesh of my flesh and the bones of my bones." Has anybody ever had an emotional situation whereby it affects your body? I remember a few years ago, I had a breakup in my relationship. We were together for 4 years. And one day the girl said, "Listen, Yannick, now you're just a brother for me." I was like, "Yeah, I know I'm a brother in the Lord, but I don't just want to be a brother in the Lord." And she said, "No, now you're a brother in the Lord." I got sick. I went to see the GP to take tablets. Then I knew how sick you can get when you have a heartbreak. It doesn't just affect your heart, it affects the whole body. So for a whole week, I couldn't go to work because I was literally sick. I was taking tablets for something I know has nothing to do with tablets. Now, when you read the Bible as well, you come to realize that it's not just emotional healing that we have in the Bible. We have spiritual healing as well, where God brings salvation unto people. We have deliverance in the Bible. In so many moments in the Bible, Jesus will heal somebody, will deliver somebody, and then he goes, "Go, you have been made well, you have been made whole." It gives me the feeling that when somebody is demon possessed and the demon leaves, that's healing. "Go, you have been made well." We have instances in the Bible where Jesus will resurrect a child, and then he says, "You have been made well." So today I don't want us to have a look into healing, just a physical healing. But I want you to think about healing in emotional healings, spiritual healings. It might be deliverance, something that needs to go. And it's quite interesting because when you study the word healing in Hebrew, it means adomai. Sometimes it speaks about curing, healing, or delivering somebody from sin. So that is the idea that people had about that. Can we just quickly read the scripture for today before we go ahead? Can we read from NIV? Let's just go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 51. The Bible says, "Then they came to Jericho, As Jesus and his disciples together and a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man says, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. It's quite an interesting story with Bartimaeus. Can I just have my jacket, please? So it's quite an interesting story with Bartimaeus. Now the Bible does not tell us for how long Bartimaeus was blind. We don't even know if he was blind for birth. We don't know if he was blind for 1 year or 2 years. We don't know for how long he was blind. But the only thing we know is that he was blind, and he was properly blind. And the Bible says he was sitting by the road begging with his cloak. Sitting, begging. Change, change, change. Now, as Bartimaeus was sitting there, he was facing five major crises in his life. Some people could just see a blind man, but it was deeper than just blindness. He was facing health issue. He was blind, he couldn't see. Now, Bartimaeus could not enjoy the beauty of the sunset. He could not enjoy the beauty of the sun, of the sunrise. He could not enjoy the beauty of flowers or butterfly during the summer. The only thing Bartimaeus knew was blindness. So when people will speak about, "Wow, the sun is beautiful, wow, the sunset is amazing," he could not see. He was not just facing that health issue. He was facing a financial issues as well. Now, in the day, being blind meant being poor, being a beggar. So here is a man, he can't see. He doesn't have money as well. We are so lucky with the system we have nowadays where you can be blind, but yet you receive money and yet you have his house. But he didn't have that opportunity. Not only he was poor or financial issues, he had family issues as well. His family dumped him by the roadside. Nobody to care for him. He is blind. He is broke. He has no family. I don't know how he lived, but he was alive. Not only he had no family, he had social issues. He had no friends. So he was sitting there, a man, blind, broke, no family, no friends. Not only had no friends, he had spiritual issues. He couldn't even go to Jerusalem to worship because of his situation. So here is a man that's doomed to die in the misery. Here is a man that's doomed to die as a nobody, as an outcast of the society. He was sitting there by the roadside, not just begging. He was striving to live. So the Bible says one day he saw Jesus and he started shouting, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now just imagine yourself being blind, broke, no family, no friends. What will you do? I think that man was strong, or stronger than we imagine, because somebody else will have ended his life. But he decided to push on. And then here comes Jesus. He moved from Jericho to Jerusalem. Now the Bible does not tell us for how long he was in Jericho. The Bible does not say how long he was in Jericho or why he was in Jericho. But what we know is that he went to Jericho and he was heading to Jerusalem. Now the good thing about this trip is that Jesus have made this trip so many times in his lifetime. So he knew the road so well, because that was the main road from Jericho to Jerusalem, or the main road to Jerusalem. But this trip was peculiar to Jesus, because this will be the last trip ever he will make from Jericho to Jerusalem, because he was going to die. So Jesus was coming to the end of the reason he came to earth. He knew it for sure. And Jericho was about 15, 17 miles away from Jerusalem. So as Jesus is heading out of Jerusalem, of Jericho, he meets the blind man. He meets the situation. And today I want us to have a look into three keynotes into healing. Three keynotes. Keynote number one is that Jesus will always stop. Jesus will always stop. And the Bible says Jesus called, stopped when the blind man called him. Now, it turns natural for Jesus to stop, isn't it? But in this story, it was not natural for Jesus to stop. I will tell you why. Now, Jesus is leaving Jerusalem with a large crowd and the disciples. Do you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says so many people were pressing on to Jesus until she touched her. She touched him. And then he goes, who touched me? The disciple goes, oh, Jesus, so many people are pressing on to you. How can you ask who touched you? So this is the same instance. So whensoever Jesus was walking, it was never a quiet walk. Because people knew he could heal. So in this moment, as Jesus is walking with the disciples, you have a large crowd of people shouting, Jesus, son of David, heal me. You've got people trying to touch Jesus. You have people trying to see Jesus. Just imagine the famous singer comes to with them. Who's the famous guy at the moment? The famous boys band. Who? Oli Mers. No, the girls. The girls. Your favorite. Who? Harry Stand. No, just imagine Harry Stand's come to with them. All the girls, just imagine. All of them will be on the street. Screaming, crying. Why are you crying? I don't know why sometimes they cry. But they'll be crying. So that was the case as well. Some people, they were just happy to see Jesus. So there was a lot of commotion going around in that moment. Jesus going to Jerusalem, the disciple trying to pave way because everybody's trying to touch Jesus. Some people are screaming, oh, Jesus, Jesus. Some people are trying to get healed. And Bartimaeus started to cry, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now we have to understand as well that because Jesus was a rabbi, whensoever a rabbi was walking was a time for him to teach as well. So some people were there to hear and receive wisdom from Jesus. So a lot of things was happening around Jesus, and suddenly he stopped. He stopped the whole cortege. He stopped the whole troop. Why? Because of a blind man. But there was something special. He said something special. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. At that moment, he acknowledged who Jesus was. He said, Jesus, you are the Messiah. And when Jesus heard it, he stopped. It's not just about calling unto Jesus, it's how you call unto Jesus. And he did call differently on that day. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. How are you calling unto Jesus? I come from a background in Africa whereby we believe that only the pastor can call unto Jesus. Only the elders can call unto Jesus. Only the leaders can come unto Jesus. We fall into that false pretense that if you're just a Christian, you can call unto Jesus. But I'm here to tell to somebody this morning that you can call unto Jesus and he will always stop for you. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday service. It might be on Monday, it might be on Tuesday, it might be at your home. Whatsoever situation you are going through, you can call unto Jesus and he will stop. Because we have been reconciled with him. And Jesus will always stop. Do not put yourself down thinking you're not the pastor and God won't listen to you. He always listens and he will always stop. And when Jesus stopped on that day, people were mad at the blind man. They went to him and said, shut up, quiet. Why have they said that to him? I don't know. But the Bible said he cried out the more. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. We live in a society whereby we push, the world is turning to push everything, promote everything except God. I think it's a time for us to shout even the loudest unto Jesus. It's a time for us to stand for our faith. It's a stand for us to declare who we are. Now, God does not need a CIA Christian. Now, when you become a CIA, you hide that you are from CIA, right? You hide your identity. God does not want this kind of Christian nowadays. He's not calling us into hiding who we are. We have to reveal to the world who we are. And we have to call unto Jesus. So he called unto Jesus on that day and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So when you call unto Jesus, do not call unto Jesus just like the Savior. Call unto Jesus like somebody you have a personal relationship with him. Call unto Jesus as a friend. My friend, I need you. Jesus, here am I need you. Have you ever called a friend, your friend at midnight and said, my friend, I need you? He will turn up if he's really your friend. He will turn up. I remember 2 weeks ago, I had an issue, personal issue. I've got a friend of mine. 1 o'clock, I couldn't sleep. He's married. I phoned him. I said, listen, I need to talk to you. He took his car. 1 o'clock in the morning, he turned up to my house. And we spoke up to 4 o'clock, and then he went back. Now, the next morning, I got a text message from the wife. Were you really with my husband last night? Yes. Why did you call my husband at 1 o'clock in the morning? So I went through, sorry, but he's my friend. But it was good. And this is the kind of relationship we need to have with Jesus, whereby we build that friendship and we call unto him and he will always stop. So I don't know whatsoever you're going through that you need healing. It might be emotional. It might be spiritual. It might be financial. It might be physical. Call unto Jesus like a friend. Not just like the Savior of the world, but somebody you have a relationship with him, just like your friend, and he will stop. I know that for sure. My mom was sick in 1998. She had anemia, and she got into a coma for about 4 months. And while she was in a coma for the 4 months, she had blood transfusion. While in the coma, she would weigh on herself and the whole blood we go out. Now from the doctor, except I'm right, they said that you have about 15 billion red cells in the body. And my mom got down to 3% of red cells in her body. Even for doctors, it was a miracle for her to be alive and to be in a coma. So they transferred her to one of the top hospitals in Yaounde. Even there, the doctors could not do anything. And there was a plan to transfer her to Europe. And one morning, my mom came out of the coma. She goes, Jesus have healed me. I'm not having blood transfusion anymore. I went to my mom. I said, Mom, you're crazy. And my mom refused blood transfusion after that. So after 3 days, there was a fight at the hospital because she wanted to go home. The doctor said, no, we are not letting you go. She had to sign a statement that they are not responsible for whatsoever happens to her. And listen, my mom have never had blood transfusion up to today, and she's still alive. Why am I telling these stories? Because I know we were praying. Now, as little kids, we were crying unto Jesus for a miracle, and he did that miracle. I know if he can do it with my mom, he can do it with you. The second keynote I want us to have a look today is learn to let go. You know, sometimes we have some pains we go through that we cherish so much, and it become our pains. Have you ever said, oh, you know, my sickness is back again? It's not your sickness. Oh, you know that my pain that comes every January. Yeah, next month, next week is coming. I have a colleague like that at work. In November, she came to me and said, Yannick, I'm not coming back to work in January. I'm like, why are you not coming back to work? My sickness, the doctor's is my report. My doctor said it's coming back every single January. I'm saying, no, it's not your sickness. She said, yeah, it's my sickness. I'm saying, no, it's not. And from December, she's not coming to work because of the sickness. You know, there are some issues like that in our life that we appropriate it to ourselves to an extent that when even Jesus wants to heal, we don't let go of that pain. And it's interesting with the blind Bartimaeus. You remember he was sitting on the floor, and the Bible says he had his jacket with him. So as he is sitting, you know, the jacket was quite important for blind men. Because as a blind man, whensoever he was getting money, because he was blind, the money would fall on the jacket because he couldn't see. So jacket was full of money. So that jacket was not just for money. It was a blanket as well. Wheresoever he will go, he will cover himself with that jacket. The jacket was a pillow at the same time. Wheresoever he will go, he doesn't have a place where to rest his head. He will fold the blanket and and rest his head. And the Bible says that Jesus called unto him, and he did something amazing. The Bible says he threw his jacket and he got up. He did not take time to collect the change. He just threw the jacket and he jumped off, because he believed that that moment he's going to Jesus, he will get the miracle. He decided to leave that jacket behind, because the jacket was a comfort place. The jacket was a comfort zone. He was like, no, I'm not going back to that life. He threw it away. I don't know what you're holding so dear that Jesus can heal you. What's the pain? I know the pain is real. I know the hurt is real. But we have to learn to let go of the pain. We have to learn to let go of the hurt for us to enjoy the healing of Jesus. The same way that blind man did. The only belonging of that blind man was that jacket. The only belonging. But he decided to get rid of that, to embrace the healing that was coming from Jesus. He made a statement of faith when he threw that jacket. He said, I am not going back there. I don't know what will happen in front of me, but I know something for sure. I am not going back in the same spot. How many times have we prayed for a situation and we started professing something else at the end of the service? I've done it myself. I come to church, I get prayed for something. The moment I walk down for tea, how are you doing? You know, I carry that same situation I've just left on the pulpit. I carried it back to go with that. I'm not ready to let go. But we have to learn to let go. That's why I love the song today. That's why I love that song today. Let go. Look at the cross. I am flying again. Can we just sing that song today again? And as we are singing that song, just think of everything you want to let go. That was the third song this morning. What do you have to let go? What is the pain and the hurt you have to let go for you to embrace the healing that Jesus wants to give you? So as we are singing this song this morning, think of that pain or let go of that pain. The word of this song. The last one says, I will not die. I think it's not the end, but I know I will rise again. So as we are letting go this morning, let's not go back and pick it up. Because the blind man, he threw away his jacket, never went back. Amen. As you are letting go this morning, do not claim it as yours again. It's not yours. Jesus have nailed it at the cross. And he said, it is finished. And it's finished. So we are not walking in a place of defeat. We are walking from a place of victory. So let's claim that victory and move forward. And the last keynote for today. Technology. The last keynote is God's report. Yeah, God's report. So when that blind man came to Jesus, Jesus asked him an interesting question. What do you want me to do for you? A blind man, poor, broke, no family, no friends, no money, nothing. What do you want me to do for you? If I was the one, I would say, Jesus, I need money. Because that's what he needed, isn't it? Or he could have said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm so blind. Yesterday I was going somewhere and knocked my feet on the stone and my little toe is hurting. Do you know the pain of the little toe? Oh my days, it's so painful, isn't it? Sometimes we go, the little toe is not important. But when you hit it, you know how important it is. And he comes to Jesus. And he goes, Jesus, and they had a conversation with Jesus, and here's the conversation. And then he goes, Jesus goes, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Jesus, listen, my family have told me that I am blind. I am doomed to die on the road. I went to the doctors, but they couldn't heal me at all. I've done all the tests I could do. I've taken all the medicines. They told me that the only thing I have to do is to go by the roadside, beg and die. This is what the world have been telling me. This is what my family have been telling me. This is what my friends have been telling me. I have believed it for so long, but today I believe it no more. Because I've heard stories of your healing. Because somehow that blind man, I've heard stories of Jesus healing people. Because whensoever Jesus was going, he was healing, and the news was spreading. So at some point of his life, Bartimaeus heard the news of a man that heals. He've heard the news of a man that brought people back to life. He've heard news of a man that can raise dead. He've heard news of a man that can break back sight. And he goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I have believed this report for so long, but I do not believe it anymore. I believe that you can heal me. I believe in God's report because the Bible says, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. And Jesus said, do you really believe it? He goes, yes. And Jesus says, your faith have made you well. I don't know what reports you believe today, but I'm here to challenge somebody. Change the reports you believe and God will change the situation. What do you say about yourself? Is it your own sickness or is it your own situation? As I've said, Jesus have nailed it on the cross and he said it's finished. Let's embrace Jesus' report today. The Bible is full of statements of God's reports. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I came to give you life, John 10:10. Not just life, but life in abundance. Why are we still holding on to death? Why are we still proclaiming death? Why are we still proclaiming sickness? I know sickness is there. I'm not saying it's not there. It's real. But let's start believing that God can do it because he wants to do it. Amen. What report do you believe today? So the blind man told to Jesus, I've believed in that report for so long, but I believe it no more. Let's change our story. So the little Bartimaeus, or the blind Bartimaeus, not little, blind Bartimaeus. By the end of the story, you remember the five issues of Bartimaeus? Health, finances, family, friends, and spiritual. By the end of the story, the Bible says he started following Jesus. Not only his sight was restored, he knew that by this sight being restored, he will reconcile with the family, he will have friends, and he followed Jesus. His spiritual issue was healed at the spot. Everything got changed. Why? Because he let go and believed in God's report. So this is what God have laid on my heart for us this morning. Jesus will always stop. But when he stops, he wants to do it. Let go and believe that he has done it. Amen.